You know, John does a very good job of debating it. And I think you'll agree, if you think about any debates you've been to, most of the time, our side will just make part an argument. They say nothing about it, so we just have to repeat our they say nothing about it. You see, there's no reason to have a debate if you're not going to respond. John responded, as far as I know, I think he's responded either all of my points or almost all of them. And John, I appreciate that. That's what debate is supposed to be, responding to points.
I can't remember if this exact terminology has come up to debate, but it certainly did in the written debate. And this is, in effect, what John is saying. Yes, Jesus was tempted, but there was no possibility for him to succumb to the temptation. Now, I looked up in my Strong's Concordance, and by my count, I hope I didn't mess it up, I counted it twice, it came up with the same number, but you know how that goes. The word tempted is in the Bible 72 times. That's quite a number, a form of it. Tempted, temptation, or tempt. I wonder if John, it's too late for him now, I'm sorry to bring this up earlier, can name one other case in the Bible. Everybody do this for homework. See if you can find one other case in the Bible besides his view of Jesus where someone was tempted to do something they were incapable of doing. One, there's 72 times. Can you think of any other case in the Bible where somebody was, a person was tempted to do something but they were incapable of doing it? Like John brought up in the written debate sometimes where God the Father was tempted in the Old Testament. It was never to sin. It was always something like the Israelites sinned and he was tempted to destroy them. He was tempted to destroy the Israelites. Didn't that imply that he had the capability of destroying the Israelites? Or he couldn't have been tempted. You see that? Hebrews 2, 17 and 18 shows that Jesus was made like a man in a way so that he could be tempted. So he could empathize or sympathize with us. But if this passage in Hebrews 4, 15 is only talking about people trying to tempt Jesus, as John says, but not that he was really tempted, then this passage should be talking about how the tempters were made. It's talking about how that Jesus was made, and it says that he was tempted. But if it's only saying that these folks could try to tempt Jesus, then it's really talking about how the tempters were made, and how Jesus, or it should be talking about how Jesus was like God, the Father, and not how Jesus was made like man. He's missing the point. And John, I asked you this before. If Jesus could not really be tempted, then nothing changed with regard to temptation when Jesus was made. Nothing changed. He said he was made like unto his brethren. It goes on to say he was tempted, but nothing changed according to your view in regard to temptation. He couldn't sin beforehand, and he couldn't sin afterwards. His temptation never changed. And then John made the point, and I think some in this last speech and more in the speech before that I didn't finish replying to. John made the point, he had a list of things, but I'll knock it down to one. Jesus wasn't tempted by homosexuality, so he wasn't tempted like us. John, I am not tempted by homosexuality either, and I doubt anybody in this room is. But that doesn't mean, so according to your reasoning, we're not tempted like each other. No, all of us have certain sins that we're more tempted by than others. I'm not tempted at all by homosexuality. Or I'm not tempted to smoke or to drink. I could care less about that. Other things I am tempted by. And so when it says Jesus was tempted like us, we're not disagreeing with you that on the all points part. We're not saying that when Jesus was tempted in all points or all respects, he was tempted by every single sin, possible sin, that any man has ever been tempted by. That's not what we're saying at all. I didn't disagree with your application of 1 John 2:16. We went along with the categorical part. He was tempted in all points like as we are. Not he was tempted to be a homosexual or incest. No, not all the sins. The part we disagree with you on, John, is in all points tempted like as we are. Like as we are. No, he wasn't tempted by homosexuality or incest or anything like that. But when he was, the points he was tempted in, he was tempted like as we are. Remember the literal translation for that was according to our likeness. Or another literal translation that somebody gave me was similarly. Just a one for one translation. He was tempted similar to us, like as we are. Yes, in all points like as they are, it doesn't mean every single possible sin. That's not what we're disputing with you. It's the like as we are. Let's think about this. Jesus had a desire for bread. That's why the devil could tempt him in Matthew 4 to change the stones to bread. You see what I'm saying? We're not saying he had a desire to commit adultery. We're saying he had a desire for a woman. Therefore, it was possible to tempt him to commit adultery. He had a desire for bread. Therefore, it was possible for the devil to tempt him to change stones to bread. Do you see that? You agree that Jesus had a desire for a woman. Therefore, that contradicts your point that Jesus had no desire. Therefore, he could not be tempted. No, or he could not sin. He did have a desire. He had a desire for a woman. He had a desire for bread. Therefore, he could be tempted and he could have sinned. In the case of Matthew 4, if thou be the Son of God, it's not a sound argument, John. Just take a long phrase that's 6 or 8 words long, maybe in the Bible a few times that way, and say, if it's this way here, it has to be that way here. You admitted that the word if could mean, it's actually, we're talking about the Greek word there, of course, that Greek word could mean S-I-N-C-E, since. And if it could mean that, then it could mean it there. Since thou be the Son of God. You didn't address what I said in James 2:19 where it says the devils believe and tremble, which shows that the devil knows that Jesus is the Son of God. He's just not willing to make him the Lord. He knows he's the Lord. He won't make him the Lord, though. So since thou be the Son of God, change these stones to bread. So Jesus was tempted. So again, I guess the main point I want to get back to on that then is then why did Satan go to all that trouble to tempt him 3 days in the wilderness to sin if Jesus couldn't have sinned? That was the original point. Alright, then John brought up, let's go to Hebrews 4:15. John, and the way what you did with this, again emphasizing you're missing the main point that the writer of Hebrews is making with Hebrews 4 and Hebrews 10. Let's go to Hebrews 4. It says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Here's what John said. He acted like there was no connection between the touch with the feeling of our infirmities and the temptation. But that, there is a connection there. He said it says, touch with the feeling of our infirmities and was in all points tempted like as we are. No, it says, but. What it's saying is, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as like as we are. So that's the contrast to it. He's saying the reason he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities is because he was tempted in all points like as we are. That's what the word but there means. He was not someone who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but that means instead he was tempted in all points like as we are. You're missing the whole point. The reason he was tempted is so that he could be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's the point of the passage. The point is not just to tell us he was tempted and he didn't sin. The overall point is he was tempted and he didn't sin, therefore he can sympathize with you. That's the point. Therefore he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's the whole point of the passage. Your position ignores the whole point. The whole point of that verse is that because Jesus was tempted, he can sympathize with us. I'll use the words of the King James, so we don't have to argue about the word sympathize. And that is, he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I'll shorten that and say sympathize. He can sympathize with us because he was tempted in all points like as we are. That's the whole point. But according to your position, he can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He can't sympathize with us because he wasn't tempted like as we are. He could not sin. There's no way he could sympathize with us if he really wasn't tempted. That's the whole point of the passage. Now, that's really the point of Hebrews 2:17 and 18. Let's look at it. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. You're right. Why was he made like his brethren? So that he could be, and I want to emphasize the word mercy here, a merciful high priest. But it goes on to say, one of the ways he can be merciful, one of the reasons he can be merciful. The reason he can be merciful, according to this text, is, it says, for, that means for this reason, for in that he himself, having suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or help them that are tempted. So the whole point of this passage is, is that he was made like unto a man so he could be a merciful high priest. What's one of the reasons, according to this text, that he was able to be merciful? Because he was tempted like we are. So he's able to help us. He's able to sympathize with us, as we see in Hebrews 5. You're missing the whole point of the passage, John. The whole point of the passage is not just to tell us he was tempted. The point of the passage is the fact that he was tempted, that helps him to sympathize with us. He can be merciful to us. More merciful, evidently, than he could have been if he had not experienced the same as us. And you know, isn't the same true about humans? When Allie goes through the same thing I go through, maybe some hardship, he can be more merciful with me. He can understand better. He can sympathize more. Sometimes we have so many requests for the prayers of the sick in the church and we take it for granted. We don't even think about it. We don't sympathize with it. But then when we come down with the same malady that somebody else had, like cancer, we really can sympathize with it. It drives it home. It brings it home when we have to go through the same thing. Now, Hebrews 5 verse 8. Let's look at that. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. Now, John, this was just a side point. And this is what you replied to. This was the point. John replied to this chart by saying, no, he learned obedience, not through temptation, but through the suffering. And then he made the point that he suffered in death. But is that the only way he suffered? That's not the only way he suffered. Everybody look at Hebrews 2, 17 and 18. Verse 18, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted. So not only did he suffer in his death, he suffered in the torture that happened before his death. He suffered in temptation. So even though this really wasn't the main point of the chart, you missed it. This was a part of how he learned obedience, was by temptation. That was a part of it, but that's part of his suffering. It says he learned it through suffering. But here was the point of the chart that you didn't answer. If it was impossible for Jesus to disobey, then Jesus didn't really learn to obey. How could you learn to obey if it was impossible for you to disobey? Because it would be set in concrete before the foundation of the world that he had to obey in every respect. He was forced to obey. It was automatic for him. He couldn't learn to obey. You name one child that's ever lived on the world that's learned to obey that hasn't ever disobeyed. Or that didn't have the possibility of disobeying. I guess that's not a real good argument since we're talking about humans and they all can disobey. So it's not fair for me to ask you to name one. But you think about it, children can learn obedience because they disobey and we spank them. Or at least the possibility is there. It doesn't make any sense to say that Jesus learned obedience when he couldn't do anything else. Does a robot that's programmed to do something learn to do something that he can't do anything else? That he's forced to do? Does a rock, you throw off a building, does that rock learn to fall down? No. It's automatic. The rock's going to fall because of gravity. He's forced. The rock doesn't learn anything. He's just forced to go down. And that's basically what you're saying. You have Jesus like a rock. He couldn't disobey, but how could he learn obedience in that way? How much time, Tommy?
About 2 minutes.
Now, remember what this debate was about. Could Jesus have sinned? Now, if the Bible says that he was tempted in all points like as we are, wouldn't that imply, since he was tempted like we are, that he could sin, that it was possible for him to sin, since it's possible for us to sin? And if we could sin, we're tempted with the possibility of sin, and he's tempted somehow without the possibility of sin, then that's not being tempted like as we are, right? Keep in mind what the whole point of Hebrews 2 and Hebrews 4 is. As I'm repeating myself, but the whole point is that Jesus was tempted. And because he was tempted, that helps us to understand what we have to go through. He can sympathize with us. He can be more merciful to us. None of that is true if Jesus couldn't sin. Here we go. 1 Peter 2, 21 and 22. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. John didn't have the time. I know if he had the time, he would have responded to it. But I want you to remember this. This verse is saying that Jesus left us an example that we would follow in his steps, who did no sin. Now, Chris, how could Jesus be an example so that we're to follow his steps, How could he be our example in avoiding sin if it was impossible for Jesus to sin? How could that be true? How could, if Jesus cannot sin, how can he be our example in the avoidance of sin if it were impossible for him to sin? He can't be our example. Jesus learned obedience. Again, how could he learn obedience if it was impossible for him to disobey? It's been a long night. Isn't this our last speech? We've had four speeches, right?
This is it.
Okay. Thank y'all for coming so much. I know it took a long time. I appreciate y'all coming to the Bible study. Try to get a good night's rest. Thank you.